Also, I want to let you know this is a church that's highly functions on volunteers, okay? And I think one thing we need to do better is honor our volunteers. I mean, we're basically a single staff church, a couple part-time people, but pretty much a single staff church, and we really need volunteers to make things happen each and every weekend, each and every week throughout the week. And I want to let you know, we just want to honor all volunteers. So let's give all volunteers a hand real quick. Okay. That's kind of weird. Who are we clapping for? Yeah, just somebody's volunteering, okay? Look at your neighbors. Is that you? Yeah, no, it's not. I have never volunteered there, okay? So don't. But anyway, here's what we need to do. Today there's a special person, and we're going to do this probably throughout the month of June, except for next week because we're packed next week with a lot of fun things. But I wanted to start today, and I want everybody to stand to your feet in just a few seconds, because today we're going to honor somebody special, okay? And this person does not know, but they're here in the service. So is everybody ready for the shock factor? Yes. So everybody, when I say this person's name, I want you to stand to your feet, and let's give it up for this person for their wonderful service to this church. So on the count of three, everybody, we're going to stand up. One, two, three, and hear it for everybody. Holly Globitz, why don't you come on up here today? Woo! Come on, Holly, let's go. Don't be, okay. Holly, do not be, everybody can be seated. Holly, come on over here this morning. Holly is in charge of our Explorers class, and I want to let you know she needs to be honored. Amen? Amen. Every week at this time, there's a class of, what, 3 to 5 year olds? Mm-hmm. Are you nervous, by the way, right now?
Nope.
Okay, no nerve. 3 to 5 years old, and Holly has the job of putting together all the curriculum, the job of getting, everybody listen to this word, volunteers, okay? For example, right now on the table, there's a schedule that covers May and June. And I want to let you know, Holly's family has been in that class 3 out of the 7 weeks. And Holly, I'm going to tell you right now, that won't happen again. At the max, it's going to be 2 weeks, okay? Because there's another family that put 3 weeks in, and that's 6 of 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And that can't happen. We all need to be engaged in this ministry. So look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. All right. There's a couple people that have an exemption. The Wagners have an exemption. They've been doing it every Wednesday night for the last 2 years. So they're not allowed down there. But everybody else, I give you permission to be in that class, okay? So, Holly, is there anything you want to say about that class?
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a whole lot of fun.
Okay. So what I want to do, Holly, I got a special gift for you. I know that you like caribou.
Oh, yeah.
So, Holly.
Thank you.
I just want to honor you, and I want to thank you for leading up this ministry, and we appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Let's get up one more time. All right. So we'll be doing that about 3 or 4 more times throughout the summer, so you may not want to show up. I don't know. But we really need, and we thank you for our volunteers are such special, special people that make this church really tick week after week. Okay. What we're going to do today, please take your notes. Your notes are very important today. Your notes are going to make a difference. They're going to be a game changer today in the service because hopefully your notes aren't just going to stay here behind, but you're going to take these notes and you're going to go through a journey with somebody close to you, a family member, a spouse, a parent, a child, whatever. And this is very important. We're going to mix it up today. Is everybody ready for mixing it up? As you can tell, I'm not up here alone. I'm a lot better looking today, amen? So we're going to have more fun today. And we're going to begin by, if you're looking at your notes, I want to take a look at a word that we don't use very often, at least I don't use much in my vocabulary, and that is the word holistic. Holistic. You can write that down. And that word holistic is basically defined as encompassing the whole of a thing and not just a part. It means the whole thing, not just a part. And how many people understand here this morning that your life is made up of several different parts? Does anybody agree with that? Just say, I agree.
I agree.
Your life is not just, you're made up of many different parts. So here we are, we're individuals, one individual, but we're made up of several different parts. And here's my thought I want you to go home with this morning, and that is this. In order for your life to function the way God intended for your life to function, all these different parts need to be healthy. All these different parts need to be working together. Because how many people know, and we're going to talk about five areas today, how many people know you can be really knocking it out of the park with maybe two or three areas of your life? But there's maybe one or two other areas where you struggle. You struggle big time. And how many people know that these areas of struggles are going to impact the whole? So you may be doing something really good over here, but the struggle is going to even impact the area of strength, okay? I think of it this way. Say you have a healthy family of five. You have a family of five. And somebody in the family is not doing well. Maybe all the other four are doing great, man. Things are exploding at work. Things are exploding at school. I mean, everything's just going great for four out of the five. But then there's a fifth person in the family. And the fifth person in the family is struggling. They've fallen on some hard times. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe they failed a class. Maybe they've just been dealing with a chronic sickness. How many people know that that one person in that family is going to impact that whole family? True or false? If you said false, man, get your family together. Come on, it's not all about you, okay? So we need everything to be working together, all these areas. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to do something fun because it's Memorial Day weekend, okay? We haven't done this in 17 years. What we're going to have is we're going to have what I call a little tag team preaching. You're like, oh my, what's he talking about? What I'm talking about is Nolan and Heather are going to help me out, okay? And when they begin to help, you're going to give them more support than you usually give me, okay? If you really like it, when Nolan's preaching, you can say, go for it, white boy, okay? I don't want you to say that to my wife, okay? You just say, go, girl. Yeah, Heather, I'm in. Because we got to get some energy in this house this morning, because when they're talking, I'm going to shout them down, okay? Well, I'm just going to show you how it should be here week after week, all right? So here we go this morning. We're going to talk about five key areas where all these areas, we need to be holistic. All these areas need to be functioning properly, healthy, moving forward, because if one isn't, man, it can wreck everything. So Lord, we lift up our time to you today. God, I pray that there would be a move of the Holy Spirit here today, that there would be a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, that you would speak to our lives. And Father, forbid that we would go home and just throw these worksheets away. But God, I'm serious. Would we take the time this week to evaluate our lives? Would we take the time this week to say, where am I at in this area? And I want to let you guys know, and I'm sincerely speaking to every one of you, if there's an area of breakdown, get help. Can you hear me this morning? Get some help. And I'll tell you what, if you need a source of help, come to me. I'll either help you out myself or I'll get somebody that can help you out. Because we're here to serve you guys. Amen? We're here to make your life better, Jana. Is everybody with me this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, we want to see you function holistically. Okay, that's weird. Okay, let's move on. So here we go. Oh, I'm sweating, man. I don't know if I'm nervous or it's just hot. Say, it's hot. Okay, here we go. First area we want to talk about is area one is, by the way, your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. I want to let you know, everybody look at my eyes here this morning. All five of these areas are very, very important. But this one area is the foundation that we build everything else on. Listen to me, folks. If you don't have Jesus as the foundation, I don't care what else you got going right. Come on, Heather, give it to me. You're getting it now. Let's go. Shout me down. I'm ready. Oh, you need Jesus. Amen. You need to build your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. When it comes to your relationship with God, every one of us is in one of three categories. Let's look at these three categories where you may be today. You may be hot, okay? Meaning that you're growing in your relationship with God. You're hot. You're growing. You're excited. You're vibrant. People want to be by you. People say, wow, I see Jesus in them. That means you're hot, okay? You're growing. Paul touches upon this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, hey, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you. And then he tells them why. He says, because your faith is flourishing. He says, guys, your faith, it's being talked about. It's flourishing. And your love for one another is growing. By the way, how many people know those often go together? When you're hot for God, you're loving people. When you're hot for God, man, you just love people more, okay? So that's category number one, hot. Here's a very difficult category, number two, and that's cold. Cold people are those who don't know God yet. you know about God. You've been in the church. You know about God. You've heard different things. You've been around the talk, but you really don't know God personally. Your parents may know God. Your spouse may know God. Your brother and sister, but you don't yet. It hasn't become personal. And Jesus talks about this in John 17:3. He says, "This is eternal life, that you may," everybody together, "know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ you sent." This is the objective, that we know God, that we know Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, if you're here today and you say, "I don't even know about God. I know about him, but I want to know him personally." Don't leave here today without somebody praying for you. We love to introduce people to God through Jesus. Amen? Amen. Here's a sad one. Number three, your category may be you're lukewarm. Everybody, let's say that together. Lukewarm. That means you're drifting. You're drifting. Look what Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says. He says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we've heard, or we may," what? "Drift away from it." Let me see hands. Has anybody ever been to the ocean before? Anybody been to the, all the people who have had the opportunity to go to the ocean. How many people went into the water? Okay. Hey, remember when you showed up at the beach? You put all your belongings on the beach, your towels, your coolers, your whatever you were doing. You put everything on the beach, and then you got in the water, and you started playing in the water. And about a half hour later, you looked up, and you said, "Oh no, somebody stole my stuff." How many people know your stuff wasn't stolen? How many people know through a period of time you did what? You drifted. You drifted. Your stuff was still there, but now you're way down here. Here's the point. How many people know that can be the way it is with God? God has never left. Oh, that's so good. That's better than you're responding. God has never left, but I want to let you know the current of life has taken you, and now you're drifting, and you're drifting. And now you look up and you say, "Well, where's God?" Well, he's still there, my friends. And what we need to do is we need to get back, and we need to get running back towards God. So here's some of the things we can do so we don't drift. We talk about it all the time. You got to read God's word. You got to worship. You got to make prayer a part of your life. You got to fast. You got to serve other people. Be involved in a small group. Get a mentor. Get somebody to help you, because God doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He wants you to be hot, hot, okay? So that's our first area this morning, and that is your relationship with God. Now I'm going to turn it over to this good-looking guy on my right, your left, and Nolan's going to talk about area number two. So Nolan, give it to us, man.
All right. Oh.
Power.
Area two.
There we go. I like that. Let's say that.
Okay. Let's area go. Two is your relationship with people. And there's four types of relationships that you have: is relationships that are initiated, ones that are nurtured, ones that need to be restored, and relationships that need to be severed, or if you have a 3.0 GPA like I do, that means cut off. But before, these are in your notes, and studies show that 98% of people that take notes go to heaven. So.
Oh, really?
Really.
Let's see who's taking notes then. Let's go. Going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Joke, right? Before we go any further, you might be wondering why we need relationships. We need relationships to grow and become more like Jesus. Amen. As Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another man." And these relationships that we're about to hit on will help you become sharper and become more like Jesus. So the first ones are the ones you initiate. So why are these ones important? They are because the way I take it, it's like a mentor relationship, a leader in your life relationship. And you have to seek these out. These ones just won't walk through your front door and say, "What's up?" No, you got to go find these ones. As Proverbs 13:2 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Hang out with fools and become foolish." So when you get around the leader that you want to be around, find someone that will take you where you want to go, and they'll show you the way, and they'll take you the way, and then they'll push you further than you ever got, than they have ever gone.
Good job, Nolan.
Thank you. The second type of relationships are ones that need to be nurtured. So a question for you guys: is there a relationship that is not where it should be in your life? This could be with your spouse, a friend, your parents, siblings, coworker, boss. But if it's not, I challenge you guys this week to go out to dinner, lunch, coffee, breakfast, brunch, call or FaceTime them, but a relationship will not be nurtured over text, so don't even try. Do not even try over text.
Good.
But then the third relationships are ones that need to be restored. This also could be with any of like the ones we mentioned before, spouse, parent, sibling, or a friend. But when you try to rebuild these ones, it's not going to be easy because of the pain and the tension that exists there. And during worship, during that song, Do It Again, when it says, you made a way when there's no way, I thought of a relationship that is in your life that you may not seem like there's a way, but God will make a way for you to restore that relationship if you put him in the middle of that relationship. But the last ones are ones that need to be cut off. These are the most important one, I think, and the hardest ones to do because the people you might have to cut off might just be your best friends that you need to distance yourself away from. The danger is that they might think you're better than them, but in reality, as 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character.
That's right.
And as my two wise and loving parents said, always said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. So the purpose of all these relationships are to become more like Jesus, come closer to Jesus, and to be sharpened. So I'll pass it off to Daddy now.
Thank you, Noel. Okay. By the way, I want to challenge you to really begin. Thank you. Okay. I want to challenge you. Take that home with you this week and look at those four types of relationships and do your homework. Do your homework. By the way, you asked, why is Nolan up here? Because I tell you what, Nolan, by the way, I just want to give you some key thoughts real quick. Number one, I think so, but it rubs off. But anyway, Nolan's actually going to be our intern here at the church this summer. He's going to be cutting grass. He's going to be cleaning church. He's going to be doing some of this. So basically what we're doing intentionally is we're beginning to raise up Nolan because Nolan's decided he's going to follow Daddy's footsteps, okay? And he's going to be going, yeah. As much as I've tried to say, are you sure? He's saying, I'm sure. So we're just going to give him opportunities. I want him to be on the fast track much further along the line than I was when I was his age. So, Nolan, you did a great job. I'm proud of you. Yeah. So, area three, this is an area where we need to get right to. We're talking about being holistic. We can't cut any of these out. They all go together. This one we might find to be difficult, and that's your physical life. You don't hear about this in church too often. We usually have sermons about taking care of yourself, but I think we need to because Paul talked about it. Check out this verse in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Paul says, hey, you guys, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? How many people find that amazing that the disciples had Jesus, but we have Jesus, another one, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, therefore, honor God, everybody say this together, with your body. So we need to honor God with our body because this body is not our own. This body is where the Holy Spirit lives. That's so incredible. In the Old Testament, Solomon, David, they made the place where the Spirit dwelled. Now the Spirit dwells in us, in our bodies. It's just mind-boggling what we have in the new covenant. And four ways that we can do this quickly by staying away from immorality. I just want to talk to some people directly if you're single, even if you're married. I tell you what, and this is really the context of this verse, is staying away from sexual immorality. Please, you guys, we gotta get this one right. Let's get this right. Sexual immorality, in my interpretation, is anything outside of sex between one man, one woman, in marriage. And that's really the beauty of marriage, is God's allowed us this beautiful gift. Everything else would be sexual immorality. That's just, and we're temples. We don't want that in our lives, okay? Number two, a good way to honor your body is by eating healthy. And I'm probably the least to talk about this one. How many people are sugarholics? And I'm sorry, I just have to confess my sins. I love sugar, and I need to work on this, okay? But anyway, we need to begin to eat healthy. There's people in our church that can help you with this. People eating healthy, and you might want to add to this. One place where you might want to start is eating smaller portions. How many people know we as Americans probably eat more than we really need to eat? Am I right or wrong? Nolan and I and Gabe right over here, we went to a conference this week over in Minneapolis. We went to a church growth conference, leadership conference. So I took them all. We all went out to dinner. Has anybody ever heard of Pizza Ranch? Come on. Everybody say no to buffets from here on out. When they charged me $29 for two people, I was like, you're kidding me. And I said to myself, I will get $29 worth of food. It was not good. I had to repent of gluttony. But they had some pizza that had some macaroni and cheese on it. Have you ever had macaroni and cheese pizza? Not good for you, but it's good, okay? And maybe one piece would have been enough, but two or three pieces was over the top, okay? And then their chicken. I don't know why they call it Pizza Ranch, because the chicken's better than the pizza. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I had a slice of dessert pizza, and then there was this guy at my table that had all the nerve. He came back with a root beer float. And when I saw that root beer float, I said to myself, oh boy, I need a root beer float. It looked so good. And I made a king-size root beer float because it was free. And I tell you what, you can ask Gabe and you can ask Nolan. I said, guys, I got to go outside and walk back to the conference. I felt like trash. So we walked around the parking lot multiple times. It's no joke. We just walked around. I was like, oh. But here's the deal. We're talking about being healthy, okay? Because this is a big part of your holistic lifestyle. If you're not feeling good, you're not going to want to serve. You're just going to feel like blah. You're not going to want to come. Some people, I can't go to church. I just don't feel good. Here's another one, exercising regularly. I hear professionals say you should probably try to exercise four times a week, get your heart rate up for about a half hour. That's really not a lot of time. Just to get that heart rate going up 30 minutes, four times a week. And actually, I'm horrible at number two, but I love number three. I love exercising. I love it. Because I have figured something out that I want to share with you. Exercising is like free drugs. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, when you walk out of there and you're just sweaty, it just feels like, wow. I feel like I can jump over the church. And I'm not kidding. I mean, a couple days this week, I got this new pillow. Somebody, thank you for giving me my pillow. And that pillow's way too thick for me. So I've woken up a couple days this week with a neck ache, a big headache. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody else has my pillow too. And that pillow needs to be split in half because I'm used to a real flat pillow, but I've had a headache and I tried, and I don't like to take aspirin. Heather's like, you're a freak. You think you're going to get addicted on two aspirins. But I'm an anti-drug-free body. No aspirin. So I said to them, I said, I'm going to work out. And I tell you what, within 30 minutes of that workout, that headache was gone. It was gone. And I said, I feel like I can jump over the city. I mean, folks, healthy bodies, that's holistic. We don't talk about it in church. Why not? We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And fourth and final, some of us, we just need to practice just good old-fashioned getting some rest. You need to rest your body and your mind. And some of us, the best way to get rest is go to bed earlier. How many people have a body like mine? You don't need an alarm clock. You're up at whatever time every day. I have found out if I'm going to get more rest, I need to go to bed earlier. I think it's really important that you wake up because I think rest is as spiritual as sometimes reading your Bible. I can tell when I'm by somebody that's cranky and irritable because they didn't sleep last night. And I'm serious about that. Then we start having attitudes with people. And that's not very Christ. Are you taking my seriousness to heart here today? And we think of all the spiritual things to do, but how about just a good night's sleep? How about just a good old day where, remember God talked about one of the Ten Commandments was honor what? The Sabbath. It's a day where you can just rest your mind, rest your body, because even God practices. He created the world in 6 days. But there's a day where you got to just stop. 6 days with you than I can on my own with 7 days. And there's really something about living holistic. And I'm very sincere today. We got to get all these right. We don't get to pick one or the two and say, hey, I got that figure. Well, because all five impact our lives. Okay? So I'm going to turn it over to Heather for area four. So would you please give Heather just a warm welcome?
I'm just going to say right off the bat, I'm not going to be a preacher. So, I mean, just have grace with me. This is more of a, yeah. So these are just notes and I'm just kind of speaking. But anyways, the fourth area is your financial plan. And part of your financial plan, there's a couple steps. And the foundation to a solid financial plan is tithing. And this is, I'm just letting you know, I'm very passionate about tithing. When
yes,
Michael had asked us about, oh, do you guys want to help? I was like, I don't know. I mean, so I said, I'll take the finances and go the tithing route. And both Michael and Nolan were like, oh, no. Because we have hold on, because I'm very passionate about it. And we have a joke. There was a pastor's wife that she kind of blasted us one time with, like, you can't do this alone. So they were like, oh, no, is Mom going to blast everybody about tithing and, like, yell at them? And I was like, I'm not going to.
She's gonna be sweet.
Right. I'm just very passionate about tithing, and this is where you can open yourself up to great blessings from God. And it tells us in Malachi 3:10-11, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. He tells us to put him to the test in this area, to try it. He also tells us what's going to happen. Your crops will be abundant, and he will guard them from insects and disease. He's telling you of the blessings that he's going to give you. And I don't know about you, but I want God's blessings in my life. And we have seen these blessings in our life time and time again.
Yes, we have.
When we had kids, it was our conviction that I stay home with the boys. And as you know, that can be kind of financially hard at times. But God always provided, and I do believe it's because of tithing. And we had this time when we lived in Georgia. We've had plenty of times, but this time always sticks out to me, that we were kind of not sure. Like, I was kind of going, okay, God, I don't know. Should I pay the phone bill? Should I pay the electric bill? Like, which bill should I pay and which one should we let go? We lived in Georgia, so of course it's the electric bill, because I am not going to bed hot and sticky and gross, and I'll be crabby then because of lack of rest. But and so all of a sudden, Michael gets a call from one of our friends at the church, and he says, meet me downstairs in the parking lot of our apartment building. So he runs down. And all of a sudden, he's back within like a minute, and he has an envelope in his hand. That man, God had put it on his heart to give us money. It paid all of our bills. We always have food on the table. He has always provided for us, and I do believe that is the blessing of tithing. Now, I'm not saying it is always dollar for dollar.
That's right.
Just because I don't know that it always works that way, but I also believe that God has provided me with a job that works for me, with the conviction of wanting to be around for my kids. He has provided jobs.
Amen.
That I am able to do that. I know my mom. That kind of happened with my mom also. And so I do just believe the blessings of tithing. Now, I'm using that example in our life, but I know there's lots of other things. It's not just about staying home with the kids. There are lots of other blessings that God provides due to tithing. And I do believe that tithing is a hard issue. Matthew 6:21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So I guess my question to you is, where is your treasure? Is it in your ability, and is it in you? But God has blessed you with the job you have and the ability to do it. And he's not asking for much. He's asking for 10%. And so I encourage you to remember the two tables in Michael's sermon a few weeks ago. The one table that had 9 items. It kind of looked sad, really. But 9 items, and that's all God's asking you for. And then you have the table that was mounding with all other 90%.
Cool.
So I encourage you to keep that in your mind. And I know we don't want to cheat God, but that's what we're doing when we're not tithing. We're cheating ourselves of the blessing that God will give us. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. When we don't tithe, we're kind of tight-fisting our money. And I just believe that when we have an open hand, we're letting God know. You know, what do you say? When God knows that he can work through you, he'll give it to you?
God knows he can get it through you. He'll get it to you.
Right. So I like that. Anyway, so I just believe that when we tithe, we are opening ourselves up to God's blessings. A second step is Financial Peace University. This was fantastic for our family. It helped us to see that we could tell our money where to go. And it seemed like we got a raise, even though we didn't. We're going to be offering this class again in our church sometime this year. So if you haven't taken the class, I would encourage you to take it. I'm going to kind of use Nolan as an example. Before this class, basically because he is so much like me, when it comes to money, before this class, it was amazing. Like every dollar he had, he always had a wish list. Like, okay, let's go to the store, I have money. And that's kind of how I am. So that's why I'm using him. But it was amazing when we took this class. Now, I am so thankful that I was raised in a family that tithing was a priority. My parents taught me tithing, Michael was taught tithing, and we teach our kids tithing. But there's just some other areas of like saving and realizing that you do not have to spend every single penny you have that this class helped us with. So anyways, he now, after this class, I remember, you know, his birthday was coming up and I was like, what do you want for your birthday? I don't think I need anything. I was like, really? Because you always have something like this. And it just was amazing the mindset that it changed in him. And so, I mean, he has a system that he already knows. He tithes the first 10% of his check, and then he puts some into savings, and then he gives himself some money to spend. And so I encourage you, if you haven't taken this class, especially if you're younger, take the class if you can. It's a fantastic experience. It's a beautiful thing to experience God's blessing in your life. And it's funny that Nolan used that song today, because I also looked, when I was hearing the words to that song, you made a way when there is no way. When we think, oh, I can't give this 10%, God makes a way when there is no way. And we have seen it so many times in our lives.
Come on now. Let's give it up. Heather got to talk about the one pastors don't even like to talk about. Come on now. By the way, just to kind of, before we move on to point five, I went to a conference this week with Gabe and with Nolan, and we had a great time. And one of the workshops was very interesting, and the senior pastor started talking about this. He said, you need to start pastoring your church like you parent. I was like, I knew exactly what he was talking about, because I have found out that I'm very, not demanding, but I know exactly what I want for my kids. And I tell them that. But when it comes to you guys, I'm so fearful that if I say certain things, you guys are going to get mad at me and you're going to get up and run out. Okay. But here's my goal from here on out, is I'm going to pastor this church and I'm going to, like, I parent my kids. And not because I'm mad, but because how many parents want the best for their kids, hands down? So I mean, for my sons, there's three biggies for my sons that I want. Three things. Know Jesus, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and tithe. I feel if they do those three things, their lives are going to go way beyond my life. And as their parents, I keep telling Nolan Grant, hey, do you know Jesus? We're working on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hey, give. Givers. Man, that's where it's at, giving. And that's what I want for you guys, because I'm going to start parenting you because I love you. Amen? Let's go on to number four and let's wrap this day up. Are you having a good time?
Yes.
About 50% of you. Okay. Last one is another area that we don't talk about much, is your work life. How many people know that's a part of the holistic, your life includes your work? How many people spend at least 40 hours a week at work? Then you're commuting. You're like 60 hours and we don't address this. And I'm thinking, Lord, why don't we talk about work at church when it becomes such a big part of our lives? Because a lot of people fall into this view, is what is called the secular view of work. And what is the secular view of work? And that is, there's a big disconnection between my job and my God. We think of God and we think of these as two different parts. Here's my job over here and here's God over here. God stays in his corner of the universe while I go out and I live my life, and these two never interact. And I want to let you know that's not the way it's supposed to be. Are you hearing me this morning? And that's not the way God wants our work life to be. So how does God want us to view work? Here's where I want you to get. This is where God wants us to view work, and that is that we work for God himself. You say, no, I work for the airline. No, I work for the school. No, I work for the government. I work for the university. Yes, you do. But I tell you what, as a Christ follower, above that, you work for God. Amen? Does anybody agree with that this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
We work for God. Here's a great verse. It just talks about a Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, everybody say those three words together. Whatever you do. Let's use the personal pronoun. Whatever I do, check out what he says. Work at it with all your heart. By the way, your employer will love you. When they're downsizing, you know who they keep? The person that works with all their heart. Working, everybody say this together, for the Lord, not for human masters. So whatever type of work you find yourself involved in, I want to challenge you this week. Go to work with a different mindset that you're going to do it for him, that you're doing it for an audience of one. So when the boss isn't looking or the supervisor's not looking, how many people know God's looking? And that's going to take your work to a whole nother level. I want you to go to work with the best attitude that you can. How many people know there's a lot of people who would love to have your job? And we need to go to work saying, God, thank you that I have this job. Thank you that I get paid. Thank you, Lord, for just being with me. And I want to just encourage you, do everything just with energy this week. Don't hold anything back. When you go to work, say, God, I'm going to take a totally different view of work. I'm going to live a holistic life. God, I invite you. You're going to come in the car with me to work this week. And when I get out, you're going to get out with me. By the way, how many people know that's true? Because you're what? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Who lives where? Everybody together in you. He's going to work with you. I love what Rick Warren says. He said, work becomes worship. Work becomes worship when you dedicate to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. See, we worship in here. Yeah, we worship in raising our hands and clapping and giving and getting in the word. How many people know the worship doesn't start on doesn't stop Sunday when we walk out of this place? Amen? When you go to work this week, I want you to say, I'm going to worship. And I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to just dedicate my day to God. I'm going to just be contagious. I'm going to just do this for God. If there's a need, I'm going to meet a need. If there's something small that I need to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it as an act of worship. So everybody take a look at your worksheet. We're closing. So John, if you can help us out, or Mark, if you could help us out, that'd be great. Everybody hold this up in the air for me real quick. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the backside. I want you to look under conclusion this morning because we're not here just to preach sermons and have fun. But we're here about life change. We're here about life change. So this is what I want you to do, not today, but I want you to do, please do this in some quiet time. Answer these two questions. Which of these areas is your strength? Be honest with yourself. Say, this is my strength. Maybe you'll have three things saying, I'm good at the exercise. I'm good at tithing. I'm hot with God. Be honest with yourself. Which of these three areas is your strength? And then here's the big question. It's question number two. Ask yourself, and I would challenge you to ask your spouse, which of these five areas do you struggle with? Which of these areas do you struggle with? Is it your physical life? Is it your financial life? Because I want everybody to look at me. Remember, God wants us to live this healthy, holistic life. And man, if there's one area that's not working, it's going to impact all the other areas. And God needs a full you engaged to serve this world and let people know about Jesus. So I really want to challenge you today. Let's please not, I beg of you, I plead of you. Please don't let this sermon end in 2 minutes. Please let this be a sermon that preaches throughout this week. And I would challenge you, if you need to make an appointment and talk to me, we can talk about it across the table, whatever. But please get with somebody. Be honest with yourself. What is this area of struggle? What's hindering my life from being the full expression where I can glorify God, where I can impact other people? What is it in my life? And then the homework is this. Come up with a plan. We're planning, people. Come up with a plan that you're going to strengthen the area of greatest struggle. You're going to do something about changing it. You're going to take next steps. You're going to take next steps to get you to a better place of health. Is everybody with me this morning? How many people say, I'm on board this week. I'll do some homework. I'm seeing these hands. Anybody else over here? Let's go. Because I just want to encourage us this morning. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We're all the same. We have those strengths and weaknesses. Yes, they're different. But I just want to encourage you. Could it be that God wants you to just be healthier? And you know, you probably already know what's that area where I just need to up the ante. I need to come up with a plan. I need to be the full expression of what God has for me. Amen? So let's do this. Let's just bow our heads this morning. This is really what I want you to do. If you're with the family member that you drove with this morning, I want you to join hands with just the family member, spouse, especially husband, wives. Let's include our children in on this. Let's pray together. Father, we invite you into every area of our lives. Every area of our lives you have full access to, Father. There's nothing we hold back because we declared that you're not only the Savior, but the Lord of our lives. So we give you full access even to those areas where we struggle. And Lord Jesus, we invite you to come in to our relationship with God, our relationship with people, our physical structure, our finances, our workplace. God, we invite you into every nook and cranny of our lives. We don't say, get out of this area, God. We don't need your help. We say the opposite, God. We need you in every area of our lives. So, Lord, would you help us to become holistic people that are totally in every area touched by you? Lord, every area of our life is influenced by the power of Jesus Christ. Every area is influenced by the power and the beauty of Jesus. Because Jesus, we want our lives to make much of you. We want our lives to give great glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So that when people see our lives, they don't only see us, but they see that there's a hope. And it's the name of the hope is Jesus. So Lord, we just give everything to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said,